Post Data International has been basking in the glory of major recognition in its home country of New Zealand, winning the prestigious Trade New Zealand Information and Communications Technology Exporter of the Year award. The company has increased its annual exports by 5 times in the last 5 years. The company makes a range of products for the blind and vision impaired, including the Braille Note family of products, which has market dominance in the blindness PDA market. Internet users eager to join North Dakota's new Do Not Call telemarketing list flocked to a registration website last Thursday, causing delays for some who wanted to sign up early. Its effect won't be immediate. A state law that imposes new restrictions on telemarketers doesn't take effect until August the 1st, and sales callers who ignore it won't face penalties until November the 1st. Internet users who visit the Attorney General's webpage will see a link advertising the registration process. The list is for residential and wireless telephone numbers. Registrants are required only to list phone numbers, not names, and the process is encrypted to help ensure privacy. Early on Friday, more than 9,200 phone numbers had been put on the list. System difficulties caused delays for some North Dakotans who wanted to sign up on Thursday. The list is exempt from the state's open records law. More than 24 states have similar Do Not Call lists, including Minnesota and South Dakota, according to the Direct Marketing Association, a trade group based in New York City. The Federal Trade Commission is establishing a national list and intends to begin taking registrations in early July. Police in South Salt Lake, Utah, are working with eBay to determine how many people were victimized by what authorities say was one of the biggest frauds in eBay's history. Police have arrested 31-year-old Russell Dana Smith last weekend after hundreds of auction winners complained that they sent $1,000 or more to a company named Liquidation Universe for laptop computers they never received. Police say the firm appears to have raked in $1 million from about 1,000 victims in just a few weeks. Meanwhile, would-be buyers are also pointing the finger at SquareTrade, an eBay seller verification service which has vouched for Liquidation Universe's legitimacy and, the buyers thought, offered a fraud guarantee. Detective Darren Sweeten said Smith set up his Liquidation Universe shop in a tiny South Salt Lake strip mall in February. It was just a small business in a small strip mall. I know that he didn't do any public walk-in traffic, Sweeten said. Liquidation Universe, which actually began selling on eBay in October, received high marks until mid-May, said eBay spokesman Kevin Persklove. In fact, it had 750 positive rankings from customers. But then complaints started rolling in from customers who'd sent money but never received their item, in most cases a laptop computer. On May 16th, eBay shut down the account and told local police and the FBI. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, introduced his long-promised anti-spam legislation last Thursday, joining the growing list of lawmakers demanding federal action to slow the growth of unsolicited email. Schumer's legislation would establish fines for spamming activity, mandate jail time for repeat offenders, and create a Do Not Spam list of email addresses similar to the Federal Communications Commission's new Do Not Call registry designed to stop telemarketers from making unwanted telephone solicitations. The bill, Stop Pornography and Abusive Marketing Act, the Spam Act, would also make it a crime to harvest email addresses, the most common technique spammers use to compile address lists. It would require commercial email to be labelled with ADV, although legitimate email marketers would be exempt if they comply with a set of standards to be established as trusted senders. Under the bill's provisions, consumers would also be able to opt out of unsolicited email. Schumer's No Spam Registry would be a database of email addresses for consumers who've opted out of receiving spam. Parents will have the option of putting their children's email addresses in the registry with a special designation to ensure that adult content doesn't reach their children's mailboxes. According to the FTC, the traffic in explicit images is particularly acute. The agency says that pornographic pictures appear in almost 1 out of every 5 emails that spammers use to advertise adult websites. In a June 2003 survey by the California-based internet security firm Symantec, 47% of children reported receiving junk email with links to pornographic websites. According to the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, one in five children between the ages of 10 and 17 are sexually solicited on the internet, and one in four had an unwanted exposure to pictures of nudes or people having sex, but only 40% of these children told a parent. The Schumer bill will be competing with legislation already introduced in the Senate by Conrad Burns, Republican of Montana, and Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, known as the Can-Spam Act, controlling the Assault of Non-Solicited Pornography and Marketing Act, which calls for unsolicited email marketing messages to have a valid return address. The legislation would also mandate that email marketers be required to remove customers from their mailing lists if requested. The bill gives more legal ammunition for ISPs to take spammers to court, allows the FTC to impose fines, and gives state attorneys general the power to bring lawsuits. Anti-spam measures have also been introduced in the House. Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Billy Torzin, a Republican of Louisiana, is pushing legislation to allow consumers to opt out of any commercial email they choose not to receive, and would also require that any commercial email must include identification that the message is an advertisement and must contain a valid street address for service of process. In addition, the legislation would provide states, ISPs, and federal authorities such as the Department of Justice and the FTC with criminal and civil remedies to enforce state computer fraud laws and general fraud laws against spammers. In addition, Silicon Valley Representative Zoe Lofgren, Democrat of California, has prepared a bill called the Reduce Spam Act, Restrict and Eliminate Delivery of Unsolicited Commercial Email. The legislation would create a bounty for the first person who reports a particular spammer and establishes criminal penalties for fraudulent spam. Lofgren also wants unsolicited email to have labeled subject lines such as ADV. An international technical group on Thursday gave its stamp of approval to wireless technology that can transmit data 2 to 5 times faster than existing short-range Wi-Fi network gear. Approval from the Institute of Electrical Electronics Engineers, a technology industry standard-setting body, could encourage business to use gear based on the new standard called 802.11G, analysts said. This approval will accelerate the process, according to analysts, who expect that 2003 Wi-Fi sales will top the previous 3 years altogether. But consumers have already bought more than 6 million products based on G this year, and businesses are likely to begin buying more next year when technology budgets are freed up. The new standard works with gear based on the existing Wi-Fi standard called 802.11B, and runs at theoretical speeds of up to 54 megabits or millions of bits per second, compared with B's 11 megabits per second theoretical speed. But in some cases, G gear, which has a shorter range than B, reaches just double the older technology's speed. Separately, Texas Instruments Incorporated, a supplier of network computer chips used to build wireless computer gear, said that with the IEEE approval, it has begun on Thursday to ship chips based on the G standard to its customers. But companies such as Intersil, Broadcom, and privately owned Athros, which specializes in Wi-Fi, have already sold chips for products based on the new standard. This puts them well ahead of Texas Instruments and chip leader Intel, which only began selling products based on the older standard earlier this year. Microsoft is trying to license key pieces of its technology at inflated rates and under onerous conditions. That's according to competitors who charge that the software giant is thwarting its antitrust settlement with the federal government. The actions are discouraging rivals from participating in the licensing program, which is an important element of the agreement that Microsoft struck with the Justice Department in several states 18 months ago. The software giant's major competitors were hoping the program would allow their systems to better interact with Microsoft's dominant Windows operating system, which resides on 95% of the world's personal computers. But none of those top rivals has signed up, and so far only 4 other companies are participating. The low number of licenses concerns the Justice Department, which says it's devoting extensive resources to evaluating the program. But several companies say they fear the department isn't forcibly pushing Microsoft to comply with the terms of the deal. Microsoft insists that it is complying with the antitrust settlement, that its licensing terms are reasonable, and that it's open to negotiation with companies who want to license the technology. Finnish telecom equipment maker Nokia said on Friday it had begun shipping its first mobile phone offering high-speed internet to European and Asian retailers and operators. The release marks a first tentative step by the world's largest handset manufacturer in the third generation or 3G handset market, which has already seen handsets launched by Japan's NEC and Motorola. The road to 3G has been marked by delayed product launches and unstable technology and remains rocky. European mobile phone operators said on Thursday that 3G phones were still unreliable, expensive and bulky, and services for consumers were too limited. Nokia said its 6650 model will first be shipped to Japan's J-Phone, a unit of Vodafone, and to Mobilcom Austria this month. The firm previously said shipments of the phone would begin by the end of the month. British teenagers have been promised answers to any questions they may have of the government via a newly launched website. The website is the brainchild of the UK government and is designed to get young people talking about politics. Heads Up provides a forum for under-18s to discuss their views and will be presenting youngsters with a topic for discussion every 2 weeks. The site promises to pass comments made by young people directly to MPs and relevant ministers in an effort to improve the dialogue between under-18s and politicians. It's a joint project between the Hansard Society, the House of Commons, the Department for Education and the government body, the Young People's Unit. Launching the site at the City Learning Centre in London, Deputy Leader of the House of Commons, Ben Bradshaw, talked first to youngsters from the Henry Compton Secondary School in Fulham about their impressions of politicians and Parliament. The overwhelming feeling of the youngsters was that government didn't listen to their views and that they were more likely to vote on shows such as Big Brother and Pop Idol than at general elections. Politicians needed to explain things such as the reasons for the Iraq War better to young people, and they needed to listen more to what young people were saying, they told the minister. Touching on issues such as the referendum for the euro and the debate over whether weapons of mass destruction exist in post-war Iraq, the youngsters showed that they had plenty of political awareness. They were, however, wary of politicians. British employers must first tell staff in advance if they plan to monitor their email, phone calls and internet use, the Information Commissioner Richard Thomas has warned. Employees must be told why the monitoring is being done, and employers must first do an audit to make sure the benefits outweigh the intrusion into privacy. Only in rare cases involving, for instance, criminal conduct or equivalent malpractice, would covert monitoring be justified according to the Code of Guidance just issued. The Employment Practices Data Protection Code covers a range of surveillance activities including opening emails and voicemails, checking internet usage and CCTV records. It warns employers that they could face enforcement action if they flout the Data Protection Act and the Lawful Business Practice regulations covering the interception of electronic communications. Employers must also ensure that they comply with Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which concerns privacy. Mr. Thomas said any monitoring had to be with the knowledge of staff. Verizon and Earthlink have informed 5 internet service customers that they can expect to be hearing from the record industry very, very soon. But the Recording Industry Association of America says it hasn't yet decided what to do with the names it won 2 weeks ago in a bitter court battle over internet piracy. Verizon challenged a subpoena requested by the RIAA, refusing to turn over the identities of subscribers accused of trading copyrighted music online. An appeals court gave the company 2 weeks to comply. Verizon turned over the names of 4 subscribers traced by the music industry through their IP addresses. Internet provider Earthlink, also under subpoena, agreed to reveal a customer's identity after the ruling. Verizon is continuing to appeal the case. Despite the victory, after months of legal wrangling, the RIAA has done nothing with the information and won't say what it plans to do. Under the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act, copyright holders can send cease and desist letters to internet providers when subscribers are discovered sharing unauthorized material. The RIAA says the law also allows access to infringers' identities by filing a subpoena without first obtaining a judge's order. Verizon disagrees. According to Ohio State Law professor Peter Swire, Verizon's loss was a terrible blow for privacy. ISPs will be flooded with legitimate and illegitimate claims, and there's no due process, he says. But the record labels, beset by slumping sales and frustrated in their attempts to close down online swap services such as Kazaa, with tens of millions of users, have begun chasing individuals aggressively. The RIAA recently settled lawsuits against four college students for $12,500 to $17,500 each. The .zip compression format has known remarkable stability and compatibility for many years, but that may soon change. PKWare and WinZip, makers of competing compression and encryption products, are fighting over the .zip standard, which means that .zip archive files created by one program may not be accessible by the other. Both companies recently changed their implementation of the .zip format. In May, WinZip released a beta version of WinZip 9, and that altered the .zip format. PKWare made its changes earlier, but recently posted specifications detailing its changes to the format. PKWare is the company founded by .zip inventor Phil Katz, who died in 2000. Katz decided to make the .zip format an open standard, free for anyone to read or use when designing a program. This open standard allowed for the creation of PKWare's chief competitor, WinZip, which now dominates the market. Mobile phone users in the United States soon will be able to take their numbers with them when they change carriers, following a federal court decision that was applauded as a victory for millions of wireless customers. Flatly rejecting arguments of the cellular industry, the Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington ruled that a Federal Communications Commission order to require so-called number portability by November the 24th is permissible and reasonable. Cell phone users and consumer advocates hailed the decision as one that gives the public the ability to move more easily from a carrier with poor service or high rates to another cellular company. A third of America's 140 million cell phone customers change carriers every year, and 12 million to 15 million more users would follow suit if they didn't have to surrender their numbers, according to a study by the Yankee Group research firm. And that's News Briefs for this week.